Success Matt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Busy show today. We are going to go headlong into the movie Concussion, pardon the pun. Will Smith, I spoke with him last week, did a sit-down interview with him that we'll bring some of that to you. Eric and Jared both went to a private screening last night of the movie, and I've seen it as well. It's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week, and many of you don't want to see it, don't want to know about it because you're a diehard NFL guy, and that's fine. We're a little bit, I'm not diehard on one sport. I just do sports, and the cover of Sports Illustrated actually has Will Smith on the cover today about this movie. And as Peter King said, it's the NFL's worst nightmare. It's really taken over. Locally, the Tyrann Mathieu story, we're going to get into that. I want to talk to Jake Plummer. Jake is with us for his weekly segment. And Jake always has an interesting view on things. And the Odell Beckham, Josh Norman brawl has taken over social media, has taken over the NFL conversation. To me, it's really not that hard of a deal. Odell Beckham acted absolutely irresponsible over the weekend and acted like somebody who shouldn't be given the privilege of playing on an NFL field. I know many of you love the personality and love the attitude and all that stuff. And he makes great catches. He makes great one-handed catches. If he were on your team rather than the New York Giants, you'd probably love him. He's got a little bit of that Danny Ainge back in the day that if he's not on your team, you hate him. And I don't hate. I just choose to not be interested. I'm talking about this because of his behavior towards Josh Norman. Now, Josh Norman, on the other hand, is a terrific player. Is one of the best, if not the best. For all the conversation about Richard Sherman against Patrick Peterson, Josh Norman should be in that discussion as well. Here in Arizona, you want me to say, oh, Patrick Peterson's the best ever, and he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's terrific. He is a shutdown corner. He's had a great year. But you have to acknowledge other great players. And the job he did on Odell Beckham, where he took him out of his game, and I've heard from some Giants fans, and I've seen this written that, well, what Beckham did is what more sports players need to do to wake their team up. And that's just not right. That's just simply not true. When you take cheap shots and when you play really dirty, to think that there aren't moments in the course of football where there's a play that you make that may have been over the edge, and what is over the edge in this day and age in the NFL, that stuff's going to happen. Odell Beckham was just flat dirty. And so I want to talk to Jake about that. I also want to talk to Jake about the loss of Tyrann Mathieu and what it does inside of a locker room. Is it just as simple as I've gotten this on Facebook, I've gotten this on Twitter, I've gotten this over on my Instagram. Next man up, Brad, that's all it is next man up. That sounds all well and good, and Bruce Arians has said that. And I do agree with that to a certain extent. However, when you have certain guys, if Larry Fitzgerald were gone for the year or Carson Palmer were gone for the year and all I got was next man up, that's just not right, right? That doesn't make sense. You don't just say when it's one of your best players, it's next man up, because the next man isn't close. You know, the Cardinals on the back end of their defense have had some big plays given up. There have been mental errors. There's no question about it. So this Sunday against Green Bay, can they clean those mental errors, those MEs, can they clean those up? Can they become consistent on the back end now that one of their best players is out? It's not just as simple as next man up. So I want to talk to Jake about that. And then Michael Fabiano, Jared caught up with Michael Fabiano this morning on the fantasy football front, Jared Cohen. So we'll have that for you too, for all you guys that are still in the playoffs, coming down to the semifinals and the finals in your fantasy football leagues, a big part of what we do on the show. Last night, I went, for whatever reason, I found myself, I wasn't interested at all in the Lions and Saints. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to see either one of those teams in January, so I don't care. So I did something even worse than not caring about a Monday night game. Didn't even see any of it. I watched most of the Suns game. Now, you were over at the screening last night, so you didn't happen to get out of there in time to see any of the Suns game, did you?
No, I did not see one second of the game.
You didn't miss. it's 2.5 hours of my life I'll never get back. And there was no redeeming reason. I was sitting in my office. My wife was wrapping presents, and she was trying to convince me to, you know, there's some really good primetime shows on tonight. And I said, well, yeah, the Brad Sussmat Football AZ show is already over with, so there's nothing left to watch. And she was asking me, why are you watching the Suns game? Because I'm just looking up at my screen in my office saying things such as, that was a bad shot. Do these guys not respect the ball? These guys just not get it. Is Jeff going to make it? I don't know. And then there's the apathy side that you see on social media. Social media is not what I live by day in and day out. Yeah, it's part of our business model. Everything goes here. This is the first screen. It's not the last screen. You don't see people holding up newspapers like you once did. Everybody's doing this, okay? That's what we do. So I pay attention. I follow trends. But I'm also just a normal dad of kids, and I don't get all that wound up, except when you have a once proud brand like the Phoenix Suns, and they're just non-existent on game night. And they'll say, oh, no, we have all these followers. We have all the... No, your team stinks. I mean, they were just so bad last night. They were not even in the game for a moment. And the worst part is there's nobody pointing out that what's wrong with this picture. Apathy has set in such a way that even before the season started, I think you and I were talking, they're interesting. They have, you know, Bledsoe, and they have Brandon Knight, and they have this kid Booker who's pretty good. Yep. And they're interesting, and Jeff's got them now, and they got one of the Morris guys out of here, and they'll figure out how to get Markieff out of here. Yeah, he has a new contract. Know,
don't forget Tyson Chandler is going to enhance the locker room and bring the team closer together and provide that stability and veteran leadership.
Right. And Alex Len is going to be another year older, and he's going to be better. And gosh almighty, they're bad. I mean, I'm watching last night, and there was not a moment where I felt like, even from the opening tip, and I don't begrudge the announcers, Albert and Eddie. I don't begrudge them. They've got to retain an audience. But when there's nothing to say and they're just grasping at straws, could this be the comeback? Like, there's 5 minutes to go and the Suns are down 18. And Eddie's like, they just need to cut it to 10. Yeah, they just need to cut it to 15. And there was nothing there. They changed their starting lineup. Boy, they don't respect the ball. They just throw the basketball all over the place.
When I got home last night, Brad, I did flip on the TV, and it was the end or towards the end of the Suns postgame show on Fox Sports Arizona, and Tom Leander and Tom Chambers were thanking the production assistants for bringing in homemade tamales.
No, that's...
That's pretty much like what it came down to. I know that was in the last 2 minutes of the show.
Sure.
But then they flashed the score, and I actually saw how bad the Suns lost, and not pretty. Not pretty at all.
No, and then we're sitting here in December, and yeah, it's great to have a football team that's making a run, but man, when you have a franchise that once, they're going on 6 years without making the playoffs. They're clearly trending in the direction of being a 13, 14, 15 pick in the NBA draft again. They're clearly trending in a direction of somebody's going to get blamed for this. Somebody is. And there's not one person there that can look at me in the eye with a straight face and say, we've got it all figured out and we're this close. They're not close. And Bledsoe looks disinterested, 2 of 10, disinterested at times. And he was supposed to be the big reason to turn it all around when they got rid of Isaiah Thomas. And when Gorin's thing blew up in their face, you know, and I hear this Markieff stuff about, well, Keith wasn't going to be here because LaMarcus Aldridge was supposed to be here. Yeah, supposed to. It does not work in this day and age. So when you plan and put banners up in downtown Phoenix and it doesn't happen, and LaMarcus Aldridge is here, and you're stuck with the guy who doesn't want to be here, and you try to sugarcoat it, nobody's going to want to see this stuff.
It's crazy to think. Last year, I was at the NFL Combine when the NBA trade deadline went down and the Suns completely blew up the roster.
Yep.
We're coming up on a year almost. That's how quickly the year has gone.
Mm-hmm.
And this team is really no better than the team that took the floor the game before they got rid of Gorin and completely blew up everything.
Well, and Gorin put them over a barrel.
Yep.
Okay, so Gorin put them over a barrel. Markus talked badly about him. Markieff talked badly about him. Bledsoe kind of played around before letting him know if he wanted to be here. So the organization is being played. The organization is being played. And, you know, this coming Saturday, and I'm not sitting here to rub salt in any wound, but Saturday, Philadelphia is here. And I'm watching them play last night. I'm watching the Suns play last night. And Philadelphia's plan is let's get really bad, and then we'll get really good because we're going to have all these first-round picks. And I don't appreciate how they go out and lose games intentionally by 30 and 40 points, but at least there's a plan. Here, I don't see any plan. Bledsoe strikes me as the type of guy that when things get bad and they're getting close to being bad, he's not going to want to be here no matter how much money he's getting. So we're going to go through this vicious cycle again of somebody not wanting to be here. You could make the argument that Philadelphia is on a better track to getting it turned around and winning in a big way than you can what's going on here in Phoenix. It's not hyperbole. That's not me trying to stick it in Robert's face. I don't care. I mean, I do, but that's why I bring this stuff up. But gosh, they were bad last night. And they're just not fun to watch consistently. I don't need a jump shot shooting, three-point shooting team with no inside presence with a bunch of guys who have scowls on their faces and don't look fun, don't look embraceable, and can't play. That's the main thing. All right, my interview with Will Smith is next, and then I'm gonna have Jared and Eric come on in here because all three of us have now seen concussion. And it's become the story, I think, leading into this weekend before the NFL games. And I'll talk more about that. Jake Plummer will join us. Really interested to hear what he has to say on Odell Beckham and Josh Norman's feud and Tyrann Mathieu and much more. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, thanks for being with us. So coming into the holiday weekend, on Christmas Day, the movie Concussion comes out. We've been talking quite a bit about it. Because, guys, if you're a fan of sports and just a fan of football in particular, this is a topic that people don't want to hear about. They just want their games. They don't really care if their gladiators' brains are jacked up. But it's becoming more and more of an issue to the point where superstar actor Will Smith decided to get involved in the project of telling this real-life true story that centers around the science behind concussion. Now, both Jared and Eric saw the movie last night. I've seen the movie as well. We're going to talk about it, but here's my sit-down with Will Smith. This was in New York City last week. You're a fan of football.
Yeah.
Kids have played.
Mm-hmm.
Conflicted doing this movie, this role?
To say the least. You know, it's it was such a revelation for me in this of how two things can be 100% true at the same time. I grew up with the game. You know, I played, my son played. Some of the greatest moments I've had as a parent have been with my son on that football field. Yet at the same time, there's a hidden problem. There's the repetitive head trauma can cause brain damage. So one of those things doesn't make the other one untrue, you know? So it was, I was deeply conflicted in deciding to be a part of this film.
What do they want?
The NFL.
They want you to say you made it all up.
I made it up.
They're accusing you of fraud.
If you retract, you'll be fine. This all goes away.
Why are they doing this?
They're terrified of you.
When you took the role and you sat with Bennett and you visited with him, the football side of you said, my gosh,
yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Tell me about that when you met with him and taking this role and what you learned.
Well, you know, what was so funny for me is you watched the game your whole life. And then Bennett broke down that the human brain is actually not connected to the human skull.
Right.
It sits floating in a fluid, separated from the human skull. So when you have the traumatic collision, the brain slams into the skull. And when somebody, you go, oh, yeah, right, okay, I get that. Yet you've seen so many collisions and it never crossed your mind what would be going going on. So as a parent not knowing that, I knew that there were other parents who didn't know that. So, you know, my heart kind of jumped that I sent my son into that without the knowledge. Not that I wouldn't have sent him out there with the knowledge, but without, you know, not knowing is deeply tragic.
Okay. Was there then some extra pressure to get this role right?
Yeah.
Given that you now have it, it's also the big bad NFL. Mm-hmm. Was there extra pressure in getting this role right?
First, there's no big bad NFL to me.
The NFL does not want to talk to you. You turned on the lights and gave their biggest boogeyman a name.
You're going to war with a corporation that owns a day of the week.
No proof was presented today because there simply isn't any.
They have to listen to us. This is bigger than they are.
I don't believe in that. I believe that, in the same way the Catholic Church with Galileo just wasn't prepared for that information to be true, you know. So I felt like that with Dr. Bennett Omalu was new science, and I tend to like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and I trust that a lack of information is the enemy. So as the truth and the reality of what is going on gets out, I believe it's going to be better for everyone, including the NFL.
It was earlier, and here's the cover of Sports Illustrated today. Now, they're not messing around. That's the cover of SI with Will Smith and concussion. So the NFL may not have been thrilled that this movie has come out. I heard an interview with Commissioner Goodell, and he was asked directly by Shannon Sharp on the NFL channel on Sirius, are you going to see the movie? And he just danced around the question, didn't say yes or no. So Jared is with us. Eric is with us as well, because both of you have now seen the movie, as have I. What were your reactions? You saw a screening of it last night. I mean, this is not just some little fantasy tale.
No, and my reaction was it was fascinating to learn the process of how this all came about, because this has been such a hot button topic for a while now, the last 5-6 years, as long as we've been doing this at least. Mm-hmm. And you talk to athletes and you learn about the different things that have come of all the research and all the joint bargaining agreements and all the things that came to fruition. But it was interesting to see how it all began. And to learn about how the process unfolded with Dr. Bennett Omalu and the NFL. And I kind of agree with Will Smith on how it's just a lack of information coming to fruition before our eyes.
What about you?
I thought it was powerful, and I thought it was very real. We all read about how Mike Webster's life spiraled downhill.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away the movie, but when you see the movie and you see the struggles that he and a bunch of these other players have gone through in their post-NFL life, guys that are in their early 50s, sometimes even mid to late 40s, it's a huge wake-up call to the big monster in the corner that the NFL just doesn't want to deal with, but now they have to deal with it because it's all... Well, Pandora's box has been opened.
Sure.
And now it's out there.
Sure. Well, and, you know, it's like the Case Keenum injury earlier this year, and they didn't get that right. The officials didn't get it right. And so for those of us that are in our, you know, you're in your 20s still, you're in your 40s, I just hit 50. So the three of us have seen different types of NFL. And I think that for the league to now be embracing it, I don't know if they're doing a great job on it. I don't know. I mean, they'll talk about it in broadcasts, and clearly the broadcasters have been instructed to bring up the words concussion protocol over and over and over. It doesn't mean they get it right. I guess from we all like football here. Mm-hmm. Did you see the game any differently? Do you think this will be a turnoff to those hardcore, as I put it, Sunday church jersey-wearing folk?
No. I don't think so, because I think we are all educated enough to where concussions have scared us, and that concussions are they're trying to be proactive. They're trying to do things so that we're more prepared, we're more educated, and there's a lot of
your friends are going to want to see this.
Technology is being brought to fruition to where people understand it more. I think if this movie was coming about and people didn't know about concussions, it would scare people out of football, and then football would be in much more serious trouble than it is. But since we all know the story a little bit more now, and the strides they're making towards making it better, I don't think it'll have as much of an impact. It's just really fascinating to learn the background.
They say the NFL is king, And I think the NFL is going to be more – the NFL and the NFL's brand, I think, will be more powerful even than something like this movie, which opens up a lot of eyes. I mean, Jared and I were there. I mean, you people were walking out and they were whispering and you're hearing parents talk to other parents about, wow, we're really going to have to reconsider having our kids play football after seeing this movie. But again – the brand of the NFL is so popular. You're seeing it here in Arizona with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to hurt it as much as some people think
it is. You were telling me, though, you have some hardcore football guys that are like, yeah, I get it. Brains get jarred around.
Sure. Yeah, just in my dealings and talking with some ex-players and just the conversations that the common folk never hear between the injured players and the team doctors and the head coach and the team doctors about how you just need to get out there and play. I don't care if you have a broken ankle or a broken toenail. You just need to play. You are a part of the NFL. And if you don't play and play hurt, we'll find someone else that'll play and play hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't speak for you on this one, but I've heard it from numbers of players, former players, that when they get out, I just feel like that if you don't see this movie, okay, if you don't want to see this movie because you're the diehard NFL guy and you just don't want to know, it's your call, but I think you'll actually learn quite a bit if you just go check this out. This isn't just some fairy tale.
And one other thing I want to just quickly bring up. A lot of the players that were portrayed in this movie played during an era where the equipment was not nearly as good as it is now.
Safe. Yeah.
And these teams, a lot of these guys, like Jim McMahon, played on AstroTurf, which is basically like playing on cement.
Right.
And you now really see that era of the, I don't know, the early to mid 80s, late 80s players that are having these post NFL problems because of the equipment and because of the surface and things like that. So
I asked my wife if she would let if we have a son one day, or even our daughters if they decide to
you
try
go
it.
Do soccer, you know.
I asked her if she would put them in football, and she said she didn't know. I don't think she's ever really even thought about it until seeing that movie. And she said she didn't know. I'm kind of the same way. We both are of the opinion, you know, if a kid wants to play football, you're not going to deny kids what their passion is or what they might find to be their passion. But it definitely makes you, you know, step back a little bit because there was a lot of powerful scenes that showed crushing hits and replays of just brutal hits. Andre
it's
Reed
real,
falling
real,
on his head. And
real NFL footage. This
yeah.
Was not,
oh,
this
yeah.
was not some sports movies you go to and the footage is just fake stuff. But yeah, they use real NFL footage to demonstrate what's going on here. So.
Absolutely.
Good job, guys. All right. On the other side, Jake Plummer. Jake is going to jump on board, and I want to talk to him about Odell Beckham. And what did he see out of Odell Beckham and the punishment? The Josh Norman Odell Beckham story has taken over the NFL. I also want to talk to Jake about how's he doing from the neck up? And that's an open-ended question, but with concussions, and if he's going to see the movie as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jake Plummer joins us now via Skype. Coming up on Christmas, he has young kids, so he is going to be here and then run. Do you have Elf on the Shelf? Do you you have your kids done? Is Jake's shopping done?
I've got to go do a couple little things, but yeah, we've been getting after it and did some little gingerbread houses last night, made a little village, and it's festive. It's festive time. The kids love it. They're every day counting down the days. So I'm excited too. You got to love it.
You the dad that goes and takes the boot and puts it in the charcoal and then puts it on the floor to make it look like Santa rolled through. I used to do that bit. The kids would go crazy. I don't know. You do
what
anything
do you
like
mean?
That?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. That's what I mean. Santa comes through and does that himself, right?
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't want to take anything away from you, man.
Yeah, man, that's a real deal coming around here, man. You know, we're in the midst of that right now.
All right. Okay, seriously, when you see Josh Norman and Odell Beckham, let's talk issues in the NFL. I saw it Sunday as it was happening, and it was like, somebody please throw Beckham out of the game. And they didn't. Then they suspend him for a game. So the referees lost control at the highest of highest levels. What did you make out of Odell Beckham's behavior and Josh Norman's behavior and all that?
Well, you know, I don't know how to say this without offending people, but, you know, I thought that there was a big crybaby on the field with bleached blonde hair who wants to claim to be the best ever and this and that and put on a show and it's all about him. I was embarrassed. I was really actually embarrassed to be a former NFL football player watching what he did on Sunday. I don't think Norman had anything to do with it other than they were chirping and talking, but you don't take it to that level. And I'm going to be interested to see what happens, not next week because he's suspended, but the week after. You know, that's one O-lineman away or D-lineman away from just, you know, laying on him the wrong way and maybe putting an end to his season when you're that much of a punk and cheap and dirty. There's no place for that in the game. I'm surprised NFL didn't kick him out after that hit when he came back. That was malicious. It was vicious. It was targeting. It was disgusting. Him doing that and being on the cover of everything from Madden to whatever they do now to Case 1-6. That's a joke. This kid's got some therapy he needs. He needs to, I don't know what, but someone needs to teach him the lesson he needs is that you're not bigger than this game, son. And what you did on Sunday really was just an awful, awful message for any kid out there that wants to play football. That was dirty. That's how players get hurt. And if the NFL is trying to save players and to make the game safer, there's no room for Odell Beckham's in the league. No way. Norman, I don't think, had anything to do with this. He was just like shutting him down and punking him. The guy's dropping balls. You know, he was obviously frustrated, but don't do it that way. Don't be dirty. Don't be malicious. Don't try to hurt another player. Odell Beckham should be done for the season, I think.
Okay, yeah, so one game suspension for that, Jake. When you heard about the one game suspension, you just your comments today, you had to have thought this is a joke, right?
It's what the NFL does. They are kind of a joke when it comes to suspensions and punishments. What he did, not just once, but three times, he tried to punch him once and missed, then got mad, came back and hit him with his helmet right in his jaw as the play was down. I can't believe that he wasn't thrown out of the game. It was a joke. When he caught the touchdown at the end of the game, what did he do? He didn't go celebrate with Eli or his teammates. He tried to punk Norman again, and I always couldn't stand those guys that had make a good play, then like show everybody, and especially the DB, hey, look, I just made this play on you. I think he's a childish brat who needs to grow up, and I think he should be done for the rest of the year and teach him a little bit of a lesson. But he'll get his. Somebody will get him down the road. There's a defensive player out there that's going to make sure that his knees will feel some repercussions of what he did. That was cheap, dirty, should not be allowed in the NFL. I have no respect for the guy. I think he's the lowest of low in the NFL right now. And I'm not trying to be dramatic about this, but no one wants to play with someone that's dirty like that.
Okay, so when you hear the story that was put out there yesterday, that, well, before the game there were baseball bats, that the Panthers players were swinging around, I'm not there. It just, to me, sounds like, come on, you guys are really going to go to that level that players were. Do you ever see players swing bats to try to intimidate you before a football game?
No, because we were playing football. I don't know where they would have got bats. But, you know, the Carolina Panthers are undefeated. Obviously, you know, no one can beat them so far. And the Giants have had a tumultuous up and down season. They're trying to fight and claw for a wild card spot or to win their division. Whatever happens, you don't go out and reciprocate in that way. If you break down and watch those plays that he was trying to hurt Norman, he was trying to physically hurt him, not beat him and prove that he was the better player, but to hurt him. And that's just, like I said, that's pretty low. And I don't know, if I was a sponsor of this kid, I'd go meet him face to face and get to know what he's really like. If he's all about me, 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 which I think that's what he is. I don't think there's any team, and M-E is in team, an E and an M, but it doesn't stand for him because he's all about himself. And you can see that when he jumped up on the bench and was yelling at the crowd. And like, it's all about him. He just wants all the limelight, but he's dirty. He'll get his, trust me.
The movie Concussion comes out with Will Smith, and it's a serious subject, obviously, and Will Smith is someone I did a sit down with him last week. He was great, very forthright about it. I thought it was a well done job, maybe best actor. The issue of concussion, you and I have talked about in the past, but how do you handle it present day? Do you talk to people about what's going on out there present day?
You know, there's a lot of conversation out there about concussions. They've been happening in all of sports since we've been recreating as human beings. Now we're understanding where when you choose to go bang your head against somebody or have those subconcussive hits over and over and over, it's not those big, big hits that they're trying to eliminate, the big, vicious hits once in a while. Yeah, you might get a concussion out of those, but it's all those subconcussive hits that we don't even witness. The normal fan doesn't even see what happens in the scrum there with the O-line, D-line that hit their heads against each other every single play. Those are the ones that are damaging. Those are the ones you can't take out of the game. It's a definite issue that has to be talked about. And if there's a way to prevent them or treat them better, then they have to do that. But the NFL protocol, it's still just like not kicking Odell Beckham out of the game. It's kind of a joke, too. You see guys get up wobbly. You play sports, Brad. You know when a guy gets up and he's not all there. I've seen it repeatedly on Sundays. Guys get up, they're not sure which sideline they're going to, and they're right back in there playing. And if they have a protocol in place where there's a spotter and a trainer that's supposed to be seeing this, they need to get those guys out of the game. But all in all, I think as an adult, as a grown man who's playing in the NFL, you know what you're putting yourself into. You know it's a violent game. You're going to have issues when you get done. To save face, to save lawsuits, to save the game, there should be a waiver sign that says, fine, put me in the protocol. If I'm dinged up, I'll follow it. I'll do what you say. Or no, don't put me in the protocol. I'm the owner of my own body. This is me. This is my own body, my brain. I don't care what happens in the long run. Do not take me out of a game because I want to be the best. I want to win a championship. Don't take me out because I got my bell rung. I want to play. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's a barbaric game. Eventually, games like this that players and it's noted and researched and found out that there's injuries like brain trauma, they eventually die out. So, yeah, the future is not great for the NFL or for football, I should say. But the NFL is going strong and making more and more money, and it's the fans are going to tune in, and they don't really care what happens with the players down the road. We're going to get to see a glimpse, I think, in this movie. You've seen it. I haven't seen it yet of what the future holds for some of these guys that go out there and they're your idols and they're the gladiators on Sundays. We're going to see a glimpse of what that real life is like.
Are you you're going to see the movie?
Of course, I'll go watch it. It would be tough, though, because I know a lot of guys that I played with and friends that are going through similar things and having post-traumatic or CTE, whatever, signs that they are not well. And I don't know if I have to think that since they're all football players, that it probably most of it points back to playing a rough sport or being on the wedge back in the day when there was a wedge on kickoffs and just getting hammered. You know, it's a rough sport. But like I said, we're grown men. And you know what you're getting into to play like, oh, I didn't know I was going to have concussions. That's kind of a silly stance to take. I think that we know this game growing into it, that it was a tough physical game that's probably going to leave you marked up in some way. So I'm excited to see the movie just to see how they portray the whole thing, the whole former players, and see what happens. It's going to be tough, though.
On a personal level, are you okay above the shoulders? I mean, that's an open-ended. You can make a joke about that. But do you have any symptoms at all that you think, wow, why am I forgetting stuff, moods, things like that, Jake?
What do you mean, Brad? Are you trying to mess with me? No, I'm fine, man. I feel pretty good. You know, I have headaches occasionally. You know, there's times where I might forget where my keys are, but I don't know if there's anyone else out there. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there do the same thing. Yep. You know, there's lots of stuff happening here in Colorado. There's lots of things going on that we're working on research to help provide some opportunity or some other options for players, not only post career, but during their career that can help with the brain. But I feel good. I don't think about it much. I loved what I did. I loved playing ball. Now I'm just trying to live life and love that also and not worry about what my future holds, because right now is more important than 20 years down the road.
Tyrann Mathieu goes down for the season. What does this do inside of a locker room when you lose a player of that caliber? People say, well, next man up. That sounds all well and good, but this is one of your true leaders, one of the best players on your team. What's it like? Take the fans inside the locker room.
Well, it's tough. First and foremost, you know, fans are upset because it hurts the Cardinals' chances to win, maybe, or to be as effective on defense. But as a player, you go in there, and this is one of your boys. This is one of your brothers, and you hurt for him, and you're sad because he's already dealt with injuries in his young career, and now he's playing at a high level, and he's a dynamite player who raises the level and a tone setter for that team. To lose him, it's hard. But, you know, I think he'll be around, you know, doing his doing his thing, helping the team out whatever way he can. It's just tough to lose a guy like that. But as Coach Arian's teams have proven in the past, next man up, who's going to come in and fill that role? I think there's a lot of guys there that can do that. But losing him is tough because he's really just a really good kid that's playing really well. I feel for him because, you know, to be part of this season and to carry it out through the end is what it's all about. And I think the Cardinals are sitting pretty. I think they definitely are one of the top favorites in the NFC if they stay healthy to make it all the way.
Stay well. Appreciate it. Enjoy your holiday. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
All right. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
There's Jake Plummer with us via Skype from Colorado. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, get you guys ready for the fantasy football weekend. It is coming up before you know it. You're into the playoffs. Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network is part of what we do here on a weekly basis, our partnership with the NFL Network's Michael Fabiano. Jared Cohen caught up with him earlier today.
It's time to play Name That Running Back. And again, more running backs go down last week. LeSean McCoy, Denard Robinson now is banged up. I just want to know what you make of what's left of the running backs as we head into championship weekend for a lot of leagues.
It's been a mess, hasn't it? I mean, this
season
has been ridiculous with the injuries. And you know, I wish the best for these guys. Hope they come back healthy. Fantasy owners left to scramble. And the real issue has been featured backs are going down, and in their place, you're getting committees. So, like in Buffalo, Carlos Williams would probably be the first player I'd go after, but Mike Gillisley's actually looked pretty good, too, so that could be a committee. You know, in Carolina, we saw Cameron Artis Payne lead the team in backfield carries. He didn't really do much from a fantasy standpoint, but it looks like he's the guy to go after if you're looking for a Carolina back, and you know, the matchup is pretty good this week against Atlanta. There are a lot of ifs out there right now. I mean, Steven Jackson, could New England have waited one more week to sign another running back? Okay, so at least we know it's probably going to be James White, although Brandon Bolden was supposed to be one of the touch leaders on that team last week, and he was replaced by a practice squad player whose last name I can't pronounce and I will not try to pronounce. So it has been really tough. In Seattle, Christian Michael was the lead dog there in the backfield, but Bryce Brown saw his share of backfield carries as well. So you are really looking at volume and predicting who is going to see volume. For me in Carolina, it's Artis Payne. In Buffalo, it's Williams, but keep tabs on him because he is dealing with a little bit of a shoulder. In Seattle, it's Michael. But you're really putting these guys in, crossing your fingers, and hoping for the best.
You alluded to James White briefly, and I think a lot of people who had Deion Lewis was hoping that this was going to be the same guy, because Deion Lewis, what he was doing from a PPR standpoint was incredible at the mm-hmm. running back position. James White showed a little bit last week and then a little bit over the course of the year that he could be in that role. Do you roll with just a New England running back in general in a championship week, even if you're running out of options, or do you just try to stick with the guy that you know that's going to get touches?
Well, the problem is a lot of fantasy owners don't have that luxury this week. Like, I'm in a championship in one of my leagues, and I have to play James White because my alternatives are going to be Carlos Williams, who I'm not sure will lead the Bills in backfield touches. And again, mentioning Steven Jackson, in this season, which has been so insane and so unpredictable more than any other, if Steven Jackson goes out there and gets 15 touches and scores a touchdown for the Patriots, I would not be shocked. I wouldn't be. But the Jets' defense has been pretty good against the run, so I think a player like James White, who's a little more dynamic and a little more versatile and catch the ball out of the backfield and make plays in space, would be the best fantasy option in that backfield this week. But again, trying to predict what Bill Belichick is going to do, good luck with that.
Exactly. We're joined by Michael Fabiano right now, and you mentioned how crazy it's been, but it's not just with the running backs. The emergence of some quarterbacks, and one mm-hmm. thing when listening to you over the last 3-4 years you've been doing this with us is how you value quarterbacks in the draft, and you don't jump on some of those guys early. And a classic example is I'm one of these guys starting one of these guys this week, and I know other people between Tyrod Taylor and Kirk Cousins. People starting yeah. those two guys in championship weeks. Which one are you more surprised at this point in the year that we're talking about starting a Tyrod Taylor or a Kirk Cousins at this point in the fantasy season?
Kirk Cousins, for sure, because Tyrod was a guy that I liked. because he could run with the football on top of what he can do with his arm, and he's been really good lately. But if you look at the Cowboys, listen, they're an awful team offensively, but defensively they've been pretty good. You know, they held Ryan Fitzpatrick down last week. They've held down a whole lot of good quarterbacks this year. So I'm not as big on Tyrod, and I would prefer Cousins because, number one, listen, he's got 21-plus fantasy points, I think, in three of his last four games. He's been better at home. The only team to stop him lately has been the Cowboys. But the Eagles' defense is terrible. Their pass defense is awful. The only reason why Carson Palmer didn't have a big game against them earlier this week is because David Johnson ran the ball down their throats. So I'm going with Cousins here, and the X factor in this game is DeSean Jackson. He's going to want revenge. We've seen a lot of guys play against old teams and put up pretty good numbers, Emmanuel Sanders, Torrey Smith, Charles Clay, and Jackson. You know he's going to be motivated to put up a good number against the Eagles. So I like Cousins more than I like Tyrod this week.
You mentioned you weren't high on Eli Manning last week, and you were spot on until something woke him up. I don't know.
I was dead wrong.
You were on until someone gave him some like sniffing salts or something like that at the end of the game, the whole Giants team. What do you think against Minnesota? You know, Minnesota's a team that at times they've been able to be thrown against, and at times they've looked like one of the best defenses in football.
They're banged up. That's been the problem. What I want to know is if Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be in the mix, right?
Sure.
Suspended for a game, appeal pending. If OBJ doesn't play, I don't know how you play Eli Manning, to be quite honest with you. And I do think there are better options out there. Blake Bortles, I mean, you want to talk about an unsung hero from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
That kid's been slinging it. He turns the ball over too much, but in fantasy he throws so many touchdowns and throws for so many yards that it doesn't necessarily hurt you. So I think there are other options. Kirk Cousins, I haven't done my rankings yet because we're here at Tuesday, but Kirk Cousins is going to be right in that Eli Manning tier. But I need to know what's going to be going on with OBJ before I can really make a good estimation of what Eli Manning can or can't do this weekend in your fantasy championship. But in a season where quarterbacks have really put up huge numbers, I tend to think there's probably 10 quarterbacks better than Eli this week.
Interesting stuff. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst, joining us here. A lot of people have had this game circled on their calendar for a while. It's the Bengals going up against the Broncos on Monday Night Football. A lot of guys who could be key roles in a lot of fantasy teams this time of year on both teams, but they're playing each other. So what are your thoughts about some of the standouts with these teams in this matchup? Because you know it's going to be a playoff-type atmosphere on Monday night.
Well, hey, you know what? Peyton Manning against Andy Dalton, right?
exactly, you know, right? Just the way we drew it up.
It could be A.J. McCarron against Trevor Siemian. I mean, I don't know. Brock Osweiler's hurt. He's got the shoulder. Great game last week against Pittsburgh. Bad matchup this week. I'm not playing him. There's too much risk. If Osweiler or Manning are both inactive this week, and I don't know what the situation is going to be yet because, again, it's early in the week, I mean, boy, that really hurts the value of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. But at this point in the week, those two guys are hard to bench. I know Demaryius hasn't been as good lately. For the season, but lately he's been better. Sanders had a big game last week against his old team. So DT is a two. Sanders is a three. I don't play any of the running backs in Denver. Too much of a backfield committee, and neither one of them is really putting up good numbers. On Cincinnati's side, A.J. Green's a tough start this week. Now, as long as Aqib Talib is healthy, that is going to be a difficult matchup for A.J. And last week, he was banged up, and he didn't really do much of anything in the stat sheets, partially because, well, it was a low-scoring game. They ran the football successfully with Jeremy Hill a little bit in that red zone. But, I mean, A.J. McCarron is not Andy Dalton. So this would have been 5 weeks ago, a game where there was a lot of good fantasy players. Mm-hmm. Now, you're sort of crossing your fingers with DT, with Sanders, with A.J. Green, even with Jeremy Hill coming off a two-touchdown game because he hasn't been a good fantasy option unless the matchup has been great. And Denver's defense is pretty tough.
A couple more for you before we let you go really quickly. You mentioned David Johnson. Now, here in Arizona, you know, people are pretty excited with how he's been able to really develop and blossom here since he's taken over as the premier back. Did you see something like this? And how much does a value in a David Johnson from what you saw with his ability to catch and run really get you excited for a prospect of him being the guy next year if the Cardinals decide to roll with him?
Yeah, well, he's a must-start. must start at a thin running back position, and a running back position that does not have a whole lot of featured backs at this point. And listen, David Johnson was one of the players that I questioned why he wasn't getting more touches. But God bless Bruce Arians. I love him. He's my favorite coach in the whole league. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because when a running back gets the top spot in his offense, he gets 20 touches a game. Whether it was Chris Johnson, now it's David Johnson. Arians rolls with a featured back instead of these other teams that go committee and make fantasy owners crazy. So DJ's a must start at this point. And if you're looking ahead to next year, I try not to get too excited, you know, because we were we were very excited about CJ Anderson at this time of the year,
yes,
last
sure.
year,
yep.
and Jeremy Hill. Things change year to year. So enjoy it now. If David Johnson is someone you were lucky enough to pick up off the waiver wire, play him this week. There aren't many better running back options based on volume, based on talent, and regardless of the matchup. And I don't even think this is a bad matchup. Green Bay's defense can be had against running backs. So enjoy David Johnson while he is putting up these huge numbers. And he's likely going to leave a nice gift of a championship in a lot of fantasy owner stockings this weekend.
I like hearing that. I got David Johnson. I need it this week. I'm excited about it. How many championships are you playing for this week?
I am in three.
Three?
And, yeah. You know, it's hard, though, because I've got Todd Gurley going against me in one league, and then the other league, I've got Todd Gurley for me.
Yeah.
So
I have that with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. I'm sort of shooting for the moon here this weekend. But anybody who's gotten to their championship, it's been well-deserved this year because you have probably had to fight through more injuries than you've ever had in the past. I mean, I've lost Arian Foster in six leagues. I lost Le'Veon Bell in four leagues. I lost Mark Ingram. I have one team that would have destroyed everyone, and this is the team that I've talked to Brad about that I run with Brian McCann, the Yankees catcher.
Yeah.
And this team had Tom Brady, Devonta Freeman, Arian Foster, Le'Veon Bell, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Eifert, Keenan Allen.
It's over. You should have just crowned you.
In fact, I was talking to Adam Wainwright, who's a good buddy of mine and who's in the league as well, and I said, the only thing that can stop me from winning this league is injuries.
Yeah, okay? There it is.
Then I trade Brady because I lost my running backs. I trade him for Mark Ingram and Julian Edelman, and they both get hurt.
And they both get hurt. Wow. That's been that kind of year.
That is
the
story of a lot of fantasy owners out there. So don't be discouraged if you didn't have the best season of your fantasy career because injuries were really, really tough to come by or overcome this season, that's for sure.
Michael, thanks so much for your time as always. We'll talk to you next week.